be opening your Bibles to James chapter 4, James chapter 3, excuse me. We'll start in verse 13, working our way through the book of James. We'll be through with James pretty soon. Then we're going to get back into Matthew on Sunday nights. And then we're going to, we'll be in Matthew tonight, but next week, Brother Glenn will be preaching in the morning, and I'll be preaching in the evening, and I'll be in Matthew. But as soon as we finish Matthew, I want to share some prophecy stuff with you about why we believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. And we're going to share a prophetic timeline, where we're at in history, prophetically. Where is Israel at right now? And where is the church? So we're going to be doing that. And might even get into the minor prophets. I preached some of the minor prophets, but I didn't preach all of them. So we'll be doing selected passages in the minor prophets coming up. And Chevy, if we got your message about Zell Miller, we don't know exactly what you were talking about. If you can elaborate on that with Cindy, and then I'll make that announcement, okay? What now? To do what? Oh, he got the Zell Miller Award. Okay, yeah, he was one of my good folks. I like Zell Miller. But even, he was a Democrat, right? That's why, that's back when we used to love Democrats, right? But anyway, that's right. He got a congratulation to him getting the Zell Miller Award, and appreciate that. Because I didn't know of any Zell Miller that was graduating. So anyway, appreciate that. Thank you, we got it straight. Okay. James chapter 3, verse 13. We're going to talk to you about heavenly wisdom this morning. Playing off of the tongue that we looked at last week, James begins to compare heavenly wisdom with earthly wisdom. Heavenly wisdom that is from above, is from God. And then he compares it with earthly wisdom, which is from below. It comes from man. And I'm telling you, folks, never have you seen the contrast between heavenly and earthly wisdom as much as we see it. You turn on your TV, right? Yeah. You turn on the news. You watch, even on Fox News, you see the contrast between heavenly wisdom and earthly wisdom. So let's begin looking in verse 13 of our text with a question that is raised by James. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? That's the question. Who is a wise man? Well, a wise man is a man who has the ability to relate knowledge to life. That's called wisdom. Just having a bunch of knowledge doesn't mean you're a wise man, but the ability to relate scripture to your life, that's what we're talking about. Now, God's word to our life. Wisdom is about not about acquiring truth. There's a lot of people in the world that have acquired truth, but it's not God's truth, but applying that truth to their life. And so there are only two kinds of wisdom in the world. There's man's wisdom, earthly wisdom, and there's God's wisdom, heavenly wisdom, which is true wisdom. Now, he tells us in the text the contrast between these two, and that's what we want to look at, three contrasts between heavenly wisdom that comes from God and earthly wisdom that comes from man. Let's begin, first of all, in chapter 3, verse 15 and 17, and look at, he makes three contrasts. First of all, there's a contrast in their origins. In other words, their source, where they came from. Notice what he said in verse 15. He says this. This wisdom, talking about earthly wisdom, descendeth not from above, but is earthly, it's fleshly, it's sensual, it's devilish. Now look in verse 17. He also gives us heavenly wisdom. But the wisdom that is from God above is pure and peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Somebody tell me what verse 17 reminds you of. I want to see if you've been listening. It reminds you of what? The fruit of the Spirit, right? Okay. So what James does here is the contrast in the origins, he contrasts between the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. Now, look at the source of man's wisdom in verse 15. It's earthly, that means it comes from man. You see, there is no good thing that comes from unredeemed man, right? They may think they're smart and they've got all this virus figured out, but you know they don't, because every week they're changing something. We were to wear masks, then we were not to wear masks. it was going to kill 2 million. Now it's not. It's not as contagious on surface as they thought. Now it's not. It just changes all the time, you know. And this is what I'm saying. I'm not following earthly wisdom. I'm following godly wisdom from above, whatever he tells me to do, right? And that's what we need to follow. It's demonic. David Jeremiah said this. I love David Jeremiah because he makes it very plain. How many of you love David Jeremiah? Wow, I better not preach none of his sermons here. But he's very, very practical and very plain, right? I got his study Bible at the house, and we listened to him. And he said this, people's lives reflect the source of their wisdom. You don't have to be around somebody over 5 minutes and know the source of their wisdom, right? It don't take long if you have a discerning spirit. Now, I want to rock your boat here for just a moment. And you're welcome to turn there if you want to. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. Paul is contrasting earthly and heavenly wisdom to the Corinthian believers. Why? Because his point is the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them, but it comes from godly wisdom. Only the gospel can save men, and then we can understand the things of God. That's his whole point in 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 10. But he said this, talking about wisdom of man. As it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. Remember, he's contrasting in 1 Corinthians the difference between human wisdom and godly wisdom. But hath revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now that text, it was used by me early in my ministry about God, our eyes and our ears have not seen what God has prepared for us, talking about heaven. That's how I preached it. But that's not the context of the verse. He's not talking about that. He's talking about a contrast between heavenly and earthly wisdom. What? We get wisdom when we come to Christ, and then he begins to open up to us all the things of God that we may understand them. That's what he's talking about. MacArthur says this, these words are taken from Isaiah 64:4, often incorrectly, thought to refer to the wonders of heaven. Rather, they refer to the wisdom of God that he's prepared for believers after he saved them. Not only the method of saving them through the cross, but also what he's going to reveal to them later as the children of God. God's truth is not discoverable by the eye or the ear, nor discovered by the mind, if you will. It comes from above. It comes from the Spirit, right? The wisdom that saves, which man's wisdom can't know, that's what he's talking about, is revealed to us by God. He has made himself known to us through the doctrine of revelation, the doctrine of inspiration and illumination. Revelation is God speaking to us, recording it down in the books, inspiration, that's the process which they wrote it down. And illumination is our illumination. And I hope that I have illumined that passage to you this morning and what he's really talking about. Okay? I ain't going to ask for a show of hands who changed their mind on that passage, because you can still believe it's heaven, and surely we don't know what's all in heaven. But in its context, he's talking about knowing the things of God through the Spirit of God. Okay? Now, this past week, I saw on my Fox News app where Disney Movies, has a new animated film called Out, O-U-T. How many of you saw that? It is the first animated film from Disney which the main character is a homosexual. Now this is Disney. Don't ever ask me why I don't go to Disney World. You ought to know by now, right? Right? So that's earthly wisdom. Earthly wisdom. It's okay for same-sex to marriage. It's okay to kill a baby. It's the mother's choice. You know, God is archaic. A Harvard professor said yesterday, talking about this lockdown, he said Christians are more willing to get out of the lockdown because they know they're going to heaven when they die, and heaven is a myth, right? But the unbelievers, they don't know about heaven. They don't believe in the afterlife. So therefore, they stay in lockdown. Now, how is that man's wisdom? That man needs to see a doctor, right? I mean, really quick, you know. Even if we're going to heaven, we need to exercise good judgment, right? And he went on about how he believes that we believe in the afterlife. It's not true. It's archaic. The Bible's not for us today. You know, Jesus Christ is not who he said he was and all this kind of. Well, what's the Greek word? Hogwash, yeah. So we see the source of man's wisdom. And then in verse 17, he makes a contrast with the source of godly wisdom. Remember, we're contrasting origins. Look at verse 17. He says this. But the wisdom that is from above. Now remember what John 3 said? John 3 said that our salvation came from above, right? Right? It didn't originate with man, not down on earth. So he says here in verse 17, he says, but the wisdom that is from above is pure and peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. You see, James 1 tells us that everything that we have that is good comes from above. Folks, I'm telling you, if you're putting your trust in earthly things, you're going to be greatly disappointed. They're good for a time while you're on this earth, as long as you don't get them out of proportion with the things of God, right? If you're worshiping your possessions rather than the Creator, then something's wrong, right? So these things down here will decay. They're transparent. They're translucent. What's another word I'm looking for? They're transitory. They're just for this life, right? And again, I want to remind you that I love my wife. I appreciate and love my wife. She's the best wife a man could have, right? And I'm not talking about people that, you know, I know we all think we got the best wife if you're a man, right? And but she's a great grandmother, a great Mimi. I mean, I'm telling you what, learned how to cook from Coralie Fallon, and she takes care of me, you know. I have to call on her and ask her things, you know, can remind me about this, remind me about that. And she watches out for me. And Faye, I just want to tell you, without trying to be showy and hypocritical, this is not Mother's Day, but I want you to know I love you, okay? And you love... All right. Give it out. Come down and repent, dear woman. But I do love her. I do appreciate her, and I know I don't show her the appreciation I should, and sometimes in front of you, but I do love her. But how did I get on that? Anyway, the source of godly wisdom comes from above. Now let me tell you what your riches are from above. Number one, your citizenship is from above. Philippians 3:20. You're citizens of America, yes, and we ought to be good citizens as best we can. But our citizenship is already in heaven, even though we're not there yet, right? I mean, how can you beat that deal? Our Father is in heaven, right? Our Father is in heaven. The one who saved us, Jesus, is in heaven. Our treasures are in heaven, right? I got more treasures in heaven than I got on earth, right? And if you don't, there's something wrong, right? I don't know what all they are, but I know when I get there, you know, it's going to be made aware to me, right? Our spiritual birth is from above. If it was from below, we're going to lose it, right? Our hope is in heaven, right? John 14, 1 through 6. My hope is not in this world. Our hope is in heaven, right? What did Peter say? Reserved for you in heaven. It's reserved for you. And by the way, while we're talking about reservations, Faye and I canceled our reservations to Warm Springs that you gave us for our wedding anniversary, and we moved it to October. So we're going to be going in October after the revival is over. And so we're looking forward to that. We haven't spent your money. It's in the bank, okay? But we're going to be going to that place. Now, how do we get wisdom? Well, you know yourself, wisdom comes from Jesus Christ. Jesus is our wisdom, Colossians 2:3. And when we get him, we got wisdom. And I want to tell you something. Even day one when you got saved, you haven't even grown yet, but you already have more wisdom than the lost people do. Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. And then through prayer and through scriptures and through the Spirit, He begins to reveal to us the things that the ear can't hear or the eyes can't understand, right? And He begins to reveal to us spiritual understanding of what's going on. We got the world beat, folks, because we know what happened with this COVID, whatever number it is now. What is it? 19. And we know what it's all about. We know where it came from. We know why. They just think it was some little slip in a Wuhan lab. But we know that God said that we're going to have these birth pains to the coming of the tribulation, right? And we know that's going to happen. And we know these things. So we see it differently than the world does. Now, that's the contrast in origins. Now, let's look at the contrast in operations in verse 14 and 17. Let's look in verse 14. You'll see the evidences of earthly wisdom. But if you have, by the way, I Brother Glenn can probably testify what I'm about to tell you. Some passages are easier to preach through because you can go down the line. But some of them you have to make it choppy so you want to get your point across, right? And he's making a contrast here. Look at earthly wisdom. He says in verse 14, "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. That's the works of the flesh." Earthly wisdom always comes from the works of the flesh. He mentions envy there. Envy is selfish ambition and zeal. Exalt man and rob God of his glory. Envy is a work of the flesh. It's not a work of the Spirit. Remember, even the apostles were envied about who was going to sit next to Jesus in the kingdom. The Pharisees wanted the praise of men. That's why they did their showy giving and all that, and their prayers out loud. We'll look at that when we get to Matthew 6. They wanted to be seen by men. And those that want to be seen and applauded by the world have their reward. But our reward is yet future when we get to heaven. Now, strife, he mentions there in verse 14, the word really means a party spirit. The Greeks used it to describe a politician canvassing for votes. Hey, they knew more about politicians than we did, didn't they? Right? It's still going on today. Whoa. I tell you what, the Greeks used it to describe a politician canvassing for votes. Strife creates rivalry and division and dissension in the church, right? If there's ever a church split, if it's not over true doctrine, then it's a work of the devil, right? That's right. If you got strife and envy and works of the flesh in the church, it's not coming from God. It's coming from man, coming from the devil. And glory, notice what he said in verse 14. Pride loves to boast, doesn't it? But God's way is a way of humility and submission. You've been around people all the time. You know, you may call what I did with my wife boasting this morning. But she don't, right? But you've been around people that just get up and they want to boast about this and boast about that, you know. And it's like a dark cloud flying over and never brings any rain. It just blows over, right? It's just they're getting the glory and robbing the glory from God. Deceit, he says in verse 14, lies. All these are evidences of earthly wisdom. But in verse 17, he gives us evidences of heavenly wisdom, the fruit of the Spirit. But the wisdom that is from above is pure and peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. He mentions meekness back up into verse 13. Meekness is best I've ever heard it defined as power under control, which is the fruit of the Spirit. And then purity, or pure, holiness and purity in verse 17. Verse 17, peaceable. We're going to run through these. Peace based on holiness and truth. God never said peace at any price. He never said peace for the sake of compromising the truth, right? And that's what a lot of apostatized churches have done today. They ordain homosexuals. They do this. They do that. They support Arabs rather than Israel. Do you know that there are a lot of a lot of compromised denominations and churches in this America that do not like the nation of Israel. And that's happening. It's never peace at any price. See, this is, I've taught y'all this earlier in my ministry about the discipline of church ministry, the doctrine of church discipline, okay? It's unpleasant to take care of sin in the body, but we have to do it, you know, and let the chips fall where they may, because the purity of God's house is first and foremost, right? And that's what he's talking about. It's without hypocrisy. There's no pretense, openness, and honesty. You look at earthly wisdom. They lying to us every time they talk to us, right? On the news, they're lying to us. I mean, you know, I think of one senator. I ain't going to say his name because some of you might like him. And he's a Republican. He gets on there, we're going to investigate this. We're going to call them down here to the Senate. And we're going to do this. And we're going to get at the bottom of this. And it never happens. And if you know who I'm talking about, tell me at the church. Okay. Oh, yeah, Glenn, I got to watch you. I got to put a halter on you. But so there's a contrast in origins. There's a contrast in operations, how they function. It don't take much of a discerning Christian to see the difference between earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. Will you agree with me? You can see it. And then lastly, the contrast in outcomes, verses 16 and 18. Worldly wisdom produces trouble. You ever wonder why we have so much trouble in the world? Yeah. It comes from earthly wisdom. Look at verse 16. But where is envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Man, our politicians tell us if they're elected, it's going to be different. They're going to be solved. There's going to be transparency. We're going to do everything by the book, right? You've heard that phrase, right? Do it by the book. Do I need to tell you where that came from? Do it by the book. It's all mass confusion when you look at earthly wisdom. And that's what he says here. Confusion means disorder that comes from instability. Do you have loved ones? Do you have friends? As you look at their life and you look at their families, there's nothing but confusion and chaos all the time. It comes from earthly wisdom, right? And then he says, godly wisdom produces blessing, verse 18. And the fruit of righteousness, the evidence of the works or what comes out of righteousness, is sown in peace of them that make peace. Them whose hearts are right with God, they've come to him, the barrier is broken down. They come to Jesus Christ, no longer enmity with him, and there's peace in their lives that produces blessing. Godly wisdom produces God-given fruit. That can't come from earthly wisdom. If we live in God's wisdom, we will sow righteousness and peace. Now I want to tell you something right here. There's a contrast in origins and operations and outcomes, but the greatest contrast, which is not in the text, is the contrast in destinies. Godly wisdom from above will send you to heaven, right? Yeah. Earthly man wisdom that is of the devil sends you to hell, right? Remember, he's talking here about, he's not talking about backslidden Christians. He's contrasting heavenly with earthly, as he did in 1 Corinthians 2. Heavenly with earthly. The carnal with the spirit, right? The fleshly carnal with the spirit of God. And so I want to tell you today, that's the greatest contrast. And if you don't have Jesus, you're among the negative that we've been talking about this morning. You have earthly wisdom. You don't read your Bible. Your mind can't be transformed by the renewing of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, right? You're not going to understand it until you get saved, right? Remember, you don't have wisdom until Jesus Christ comes into your heart. And then you get into the Word of God. He transforms your thinking. You look for those things that are above, those things that are heavenly. You look at everything through the grid of Scripture. But folks, many people in place of authority in our land today can't do that because they don't know Jesus, you know. Oh, they may claim to be a believer. Most of the people on Fox News are Catholics, right? Yeah. But that ain't going to get you to heaven, right? That's right. You cannot believe in seven sacraments. You cannot believe in a works righteousness, right? You cannot believe there's another mediator besides Jesus Christ to heaven.
Right.
And you're not going to get there. But they think that they are going. They're religious, but lost. You understand what your pastor's telling you today? First thing you got to do is receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Folks, at that very moment, you'll know more than the world knows, right? At that moment. Father, you know what needs to be done this morning. I pray, Father, people will respond. Likewise, the altar is open. We invite them to come to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We invite them to come, you know, say, you know, I've been dabbling in the world, and we're going to be talking about that in next week, worldliness. You know, I ain't been thinking right, and I can't act right because I don't think biblically. And I don't think biblically because I don't know my Bible. So, Father, I pray today that you speak to the hearts of these that are here and those that are at home. They can make decisions at home if they're listening. And so, Father, we just pray that you work as only you can. Again, as Paul said, these things are spiritual. We can't understand how it works. We can't understand how a God could send his only son to die on a cross. And that's wisdom. We can't understand that outside of the wisdom of God. We can't understand what all's in your Bible without the wisdom of God. And so, Father, today we commit these things to you. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said,